Today we bring you the debate between Allen and Webb, the Senate candidate of Virginia that you never heard. And that's because when WRIR was the only radio station of Richmond to request press entry to the Fairfax Chamber of Commerce debate between Allen and Webb for the Senate Virginia seat, the Green Party candidate for Senate, Gail Parker, was not allowed to join Allen and Webb on stage. But WRIR set her up in a corner with a microphone to make comments during the debate. Imagine a political version of Mystery Science Theater 3000. Of course, everyone who's heard of macaque monkeys or what the Virginia senatorial candidates thought of women in the military in which year knows who George Allen, the Republican, and James Webb, Democrat, then Republican, and now back to Democrat, are, so I'll skip their introductions. Gail Parker's little less known. She is described by Wikipedia as a businesswoman, a retired Air Force officer, and a retired Pentagon budget analyst. And she's running as the independent Green Party candidate, according to Wikipedia. Curiously, Gail Parker's own website, splash page, only states that she is an independent. Before we launch into part two of that debate's airing on WRIR, I have another exclusive for WRIR, a slight two-minute repeat of last week, just for in case you missed it because it was Columbus Day, the question. It's an obvious question. It can be answered many ways, actually, and in part, it was also obvious because if you've ever gone to a press conference like this, you know the press is packed five concentric layers deep around the candidate, like attacking piranhas, yelling questions, so your question has to be pithy and succinct. There's no room for nuance under such feeding frenzy conditions. And that question was, well, you know, since George Bush, since George Bush has stated that this war will last many, many years, and until 2010 apparently, lately at least, and since James Webb's son just went off to Iraq to serve in the military, question, will George Allen's children be joining James Webb's son in Iraq? It's hard to hear in the crowd because I was pointing the microphone at Allen, who did not answer, will your children join Webb's children in Iraq, child? But Allen's wife answered. I recovered quickly and point the microphone at her.
Will your children join Senator Webb's children in Iraq?
The president sounded pretty uncompromising.
Will he stop attacking our kids?
Are you persuaded now? Why has he attacked your kids?
Yeah, they are.
I thought I would give George Allen a second chance to give it a try. Now that he's heard it once, he might have an answer. So I asked again and got the same pattern, but a different answer from, again, not George Allen, but Mrs. Allen. You should have seen the look on her face. Listen closely to a statement by someone else to move on and not get into that issue any further.
Will your children possibly be joining Webb's son in Iraq?
We have an 8-year-old daughter, a 15-year-old son, and an 18-year-old daughter. I was the daughter of a Marine pilot who served two times in Vietnam.
Yes,
do you believe that by asking that question, that Peggy was making a suggestion about racist notions on the part of your mother? I mean,
I don't know.
I have not yet had a chance to follow up on Mrs. Allen's proposal in the first round on this question to ask Webb about hinted attacks on their children, as Webb's press conference 30 feet away had already dissolved. So the point here is that WRIR is the only media in three states to give an independent Senate candidate a chance to speak, and it appears that WRIR may be the only media that asked George Allen what seemed to be an obvious question, one that's already popularized by others and on other people's minds as a result of Fahrenheit 9/11 showing Michael Moore walking around asking senators and Congress critters whether their children were or should be in the Iraq military force. It's hardly a unique question, certainly not mine, I just copied it. And yet, there was no answer from George Allen. And yes, I know, the children are adults and should be able to speak for themselves, and that would be a great answer, but that was not the answer given. And the point of the question really is that throughout, certainly recent history, the elite and the economic powers are plenty willing to send other people's children into war. That's really the point of asking it. What are we going to do about it? If you've ever read Robert Heinlein's Starship Trooper, and I'm not talking about the movie, which has been neutered, but if you read the book, you'd know what I'm talking about. Other people are asking, but not in the mainstream media. So, you can hear the full press conference, as well as last week's installment, at WRIR.org. Just go to our website, WRIR.org, click on Schedule, Then on Monday slot at 12 noon, and the line and link there for Homespun C-SPAN. Then on the Read More on the appropriate show entry at WRIR.org. We also have our Labor Day specials there. So now we take you to a special edition of WRIR's Homespun C-SPAN, where we take the comments of Virginia Independent Senate candidate Gail Parker and place those comments as close to the moment in the debate where she said them, yet minimalizing the interruptions of the statements of the Democrat and Republican candidates. This debate was recorded September 18, 2006, at the Fairfax Chamber of Commerce in Fairfax, Virginia. Gail Parker did not get her two-minute opening statements, so you won't hear that in the archive on the web, as the other two did. So, of course, you'll just hear her comments jumping in. She's the only woman on the tape, of course. Again, this is part two, so we're going to pick up a little bit earlier than we left off last week for some continuity and for you to hear the famous Peggy Fox question to George Allen, and to which the audience had their now famous response.
Peggy Fox?
All right, let's just get this on the table. Senator Allen, you have said several times that you made up the word macaca when referring to S.R. Siddharth, a young man of Indian heritage born and raised in Fairfax County who attends your alma mater. But the word is a racial slur in French-influenced African nations, most notably Tunisia. Your mother's Tunisian. Are you sure you had never heard the word? And if you were just making up a name to call Siddharth, why not just call him John, something that, rather than something that sounds derogatory? Was it because he looked different?
This whole incident, macaca incident, was, in our opinion, designed to divert attention from the true issues of this campaign, and that are the traffic that people are experiencing in Virginia, that Virginians are experiencing, and the national debt that we're going to have to pay the bill for. This is just a diversionary tactic, and we intend to stay focused in our campaign on the issues of rail and balancing the federal budget. We need to balance the federal budget, pay off the debt. We need to install an auditable accounting system at the Pentagon. We need to stop those no-bid, uncontested contract awards, cut out the waste, and we can build rail with the savings. This year we imported $300 billion in oil products. For a third of that, we could build a nationwide, state-of-the-art, high-speed rail system for just a third of that and cut our dependence on foreign oil in half. Then we wouldn't be paying our money for oil to countries who are really not our friends. We need high-speed passenger rail. We need more trains and less traffic. And we need to build rail now, right now, in Virginia.
I hope you're not trying to bring my mother into this matter. I have said, and I'll say it once again, I made a mistake. It was a thoughtless moment. I have apologized for it as well I should. I have never heard that word before from my mother or from anyone else. If I had any idea that in some parts of the world, for some cultures, that this would be an insult, I would never use that word, because that's not who I am. It's not how I was raised. It's not what I believe in. Whether it was from my father's football teams, where you had people from all different parts of the country and different backgrounds, you don't care about on a football team or sports teams what someone's race or religion or ethnicity is. All you care about is whether they can help the team compete and succeed. And that's a meritocracy that we should aspire to in our country. And if there was one lesson that I learned more than anyone else, from anyone else, it was my mother, whose father was incarcerated by the Nazis in World War II. And of all people in my life who told me about tolerance and not judging people by their religious beliefs or their ethnicity or their race, it is my mother. And so I made that mistake. I will, of course, do better. I'm sorry I said it. Nonetheless, there was no intent whatsoever to insult that young man or anyone else. It is not who I am. And that is why, by the way, State Senator Benny Lambert, an African-American, a Democrat, endorsed me last week, because he knows my record in making sure this is a land of opportunity for all, and especially helping out minority-serving institutions.
May I ask a follow-up to that? Following the macaca episode, the Jewish press published stories that appeared on the internet that explored your possible Jewish ancestry on your mother's side. You've been quoted as saying your mother's not Jewish, but it has been reported that her father, your grandfather Felix, whom you were given your middle name for, was Jewish. Could you please tell us whether your forebears include Jews, and if so, at which point Jewish identity might have ended?
You have that reaction. You know what our first freedom in our country was? Freedom of religion, where people's rights are not enhanced nor diminished on account of their religious beliefs. Thomas Jefferson was the author of that. As we try to stand up free and just society, that's the first pillar of a free and just society. And to be getting into what religion my mother is, I don't think is relevant. Whether one person believes in whatever their beliefs may be, is not relevant. And so I'd like to ask you, why is that relevant? My religion, Jim's religion, or the religious beliefs of anyone out here? My mother is French-Italian with a little Spanish blood in her. And I've been raised, and she was, as far as I know, raised as a Christian. But if you really need to get into
honesty,
such
that's
matters,
all. Just
that, oh, that's just what... all. That's just all. Okay. We need to get this country together. And I respect your right to ask questions. But let's ask questions about issues that really matter to people here in Virginia, such as how are we going to bring this country together, make us more secure.
We have 12 million illegal immigrants in our country, and this incumbent candidate chooses to address 12 million illegal immigrants with slurs.
A land of opportunity for all, and I'll say one other thing. Preserving our foundational values, and one of those values is freedom of religion and not making aspersions about
Let's move on.
Because of their religious beliefs.
Secretary Webb.
I would echo what Senator Allen just said on that aspect of the question. As I've said before, the difficulty that I had with that incident fell into three categories, and it goes back to what we can call the Karl Rove era of campaigning, which is dividing people and looking at negative aspects of personal character rather than focusing on issues and that sort of thing. I've had a camera in my face from 3 feet away for 8 months, and I don't think that it justifies someone being singled out as this individual was. Before Senator Allen made those comments, he made some comments that I believe he knew were not accurate about my own relationship with Southwest Virginia, and said that I was out with Hollywood movie moguls and that I would not come down to that part of Virginia. I've been coming to Southwest Virginia since George Allen was a Californian. And I had a planned vacation the next week. In terms of the incident itself, that aspect, this deliberate misrepresentation of my background, such as in these Reagan ads where it said I'd spent 10 months in a Reagan administration rather than 4 years to the day, those are the kinds of things that I regret.
Secretary Webb, let me just take a quick follow-up. Do you take Senator Allen at his word when he says he never heard that word before?
I've said many, many times that I'm not going to comment on that. That's for Senator Allen to answer. What my problem has been is this deliberate misrepresentation of my record and who I am, and in a sense, with that incident, a misrepresentation of the people of Southwest Virginia in the sense that they might quietly go along with the intimidation of someone who was covering them, and it's not the people of Southwest Virginia. In fact, the night before this incident occurred, Siddharth spent the night at the relative of one at the home of one of my relatives in Southwest Virginia.
While the other two parties are bickering and throwing insults at each other, they're not talking about the issues of governing, the issues of rail, and how to balance the federal budget.
Senator Allen, you get 30 seconds.
All right. Well, the point, if we want to argue over Southwest Virginia, I had no idea what that word meant. If I had any idea it was a slur, I would not use it because it's not what I believe and not who I am. I did start my professional career in Southwest Virginia back in 77 and 78 as a law clerk for a federal judge. And Southwest Virginia, for me, is a place in my heart, not a place on the map or to write about in books. I've lived in Northern Virginia. I've lived in the Piedmont. And I've lived in Richmond as governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia. I hope to keep living here with you and serving you in the United States Senate. Thank you.
You are listening to a very special debate that you've never heard before between the Virginia Senate candidates George Allen and James Webb that includes comments from the independent candidate Gail Parker, imposed from her microphone recording her comments from the back of the room. I inserted those comments as close to the moment she said them as possible in our playback, meanwhile trying to minimize the interruptions of the Democrat and Republican candidates favored to speak on stage by the host of the forum, the Fairfax Chamber of Commerce. We can bring you independent candidates because we don't get any money from the foundations or granting government sources that you may have heard allegedly give money to stations such as this. We have no stockholders, only stakeholders. Your dividend is a media that will ask the questions no other media will. Your profit is hearing your neighbors produce music and information that comes from your neighborhood, or at least people who live much more as you do than the economic and political elite. So make sure it stays around by fulfilling last week's pledge at 804-622-9747. You can mail it to the snail mail, P.O. Box 4787, Richmond, Virginia 23220. And you can also hear archives and additional audio such as the entire press conference for George Allen at WRIR.org. And you can also hear the Labor Day programming you may have missed. Just click Schedule, then Monday 12 noon line for Homespun C-SPAN, then click the Read More on the appropriate blog entry for the show.
Jeff Shapiro.
Or Mr. Webb, I presume. Some Democratic politicians, including those with presidential ambitions, have attacked Walmart for paying employees substandard wages, sharply restricting their health benefits, and for fighting efforts to unionize the retailer's workforce. These Democrats have joined organized labor in a boycott of Walmart. And Mr. Webb, you have the support of union voters. Do you support the Walmart boycott? And if so, was it a condition for a labor endorsement?
I have not discussed the Walmart boycott with anyone in organized labor. I don't think it was a hard choice for organized labor to decide that they would support me when they look at the positions that I have taken. In fact, when I went down to Southwest Virginia, which, by the way, Senator Allen, I don't merely write about in books. I have personal connection to that part of Virginia that goes through my entire life. This whole thing about Jim Webb, fiction writer, you know, what is fact versus fiction here? You know, I started working when I was 12 years old. I worked all through high school. I went to Vietnam. I'm going to stop there because I want to answer your question. When I went down and met with the United Mine Workers, Senator Allen hadn't shown up. Senator Allen did not meet with them when they came to his office in Virginia. They made a point of saying that to me. I feel very strongly that we need to have more collective bargaining in this country, that we need to reinvigorate the people who believe in organized labor because of what has happened with the internationalization of the economy and the destruction of the American workforce, with outsourcing on the one hand and immigration on the other. So I have not in any way discussed the Walmart boycott, but if you look at Walmart, you get an example of where the problem is. More than 70% of the products in Walmart are made in China, and they are not taking care of their workers in things like medical care, where right now we have 46 million people in this country who have no medical insurance.
We believe that the best way to provide good wages in Virginia is to provide good-paying jobs and create jobs. Building rail in Virginia will create good-paying jobs with health benefits. Lower-income people need a place to shop where they don't have to pay a lot of money for the goods and services, and Walmart provides that for lower-income people. We need to provide good jobs for Virginians. And if we build rail, high-speed passenger rail service in Virginia, we will be creating good jobs for Virginians.
Senator Allen?
Well, my opponent may want to be educated on the fact that Virginia has a right-to-work law, and that's a good law. It helps us recruit and attract more businesses here to the Commonwealth of Virginia, in that we're the furthest state north on the eastern seaboard with a right-to-work law. As far as Walmart is concerned, and his criticism of Walmart, when I was in Southwest Virginia, in Lee County, I know this is great talk about Southwest Virginia and Northern Virginia. However, there was a new Walmart opening up there, 350 jobs, and the folks were all really happy to have those jobs. And the people in Lee County are going to be happy they didn't have to drive 20, 30 miles to get groceries or to get goods for their households. And so Walmart's providing opportunities for people working there. Now, in health insurance and access to quality health insurance, several things that are very important. One of them is the litigation costs. We need to have litigation reform so the cost of health insurance doesn't go up and the cost of medical liability doesn't go up. We also need to have more personalized options, such as health savings accounts, where individuals own those accounts and build up that nest egg over the years. And also for small businesses, we need small business health plans so small businesses could band together throughout Virginia, West Virginia, Tennessee, Maryland, and get together and have the same opportunities that big businesses have to have that risk pool shared and therefore have more affordable health insurance for themselves and, most importantly, for their employees.
Secretary Webb, let me step in here because I think I want to keep going on this issue of health care, and let me just ask you the question. Senator Allen just laid out what he would do nationally. What is your plan to get all Americans health insurance, and how would you pay for it?
Okay, and then I would, if I may, like to address what Senator Allen just said. Mm-hmm. We have a situation right now, and I think it's been affected by what's happened with the lack of bargaining power, with the internationalization of our economy, the threat of jobs going overseas or disappearing to people who will work below the minimum wage, and that sort of thing. It's affecting all areas of American workers. We haven't raised the minimum wage since 1997. We haven't raised it in this century. Senator Allen has voted four times against raising the minimum wage. He's voted four times to raise his own pay. We have a situation now where the number of people without medical insurance has actually gone up. And a big portion of these people are people who are working. A good example is the son of one of my closest friends who, for 6 years, has worked in the same restaurant in Nashville, Tennessee. His take-home is about $24,000. He got cancer. He had to pay $65,000 out of his own pocket in order to save his own
life.
That's
the problem, but what's
your
plan?
Need to do is move toward a system, in my view, like the Mitt Romney plan in Massachusetts, where you can have a system of mandatory health insurance that goes to preventive care, that with a sliding scale of government participation based on poverty rate up to a couple hundred percentage points above poverty rate. That is the notional plan, and that's the way we should go, in my view.
And your 30-second rebuttal to his other point?
Well,
just 30 seconds quickly on the other point. I didn't get to answer your question, George. It's going to take me a second. I'm not opposed to the right to work law. You know, the fact that I believe we should have collective bargaining does not mean I want to throw out that law. And people, people were happy to get 350 jobs down there in Southwest Virginia because so many of their jobs have been going overseas.
Everyone in America needs access to affordable health care insurance. The best way to do that is to make it possible and facilitate private insurance companies providing access to affordable health care insurance for everyone in America, not just American citizens, but everyone, even if they're visiting America, should have access to affordable health care insurance.
Well, not one of those jobs down there was being paid the minimum wage. They're getting good wages and good pay there as well as elsewhere throughout our Commonwealth of Virginia. You asked the question, what's your plan? Finally, when the 15-second card came up, my opponent finally said, well, here's something, some notional view. This is the choice for the people of Virginia. Somebody has a concrete record, a concrete verifiable record of performance with actual plans on and ideas that can actually tangibly have a positive impact on people's lives. Small business health plans is not something that is forced by the government on any company, but it in fact empowers realtors and small businesses and contractors to pool together to have that same leverage, that same bargaining power, so that if there is somebody in a small business that ends up with a catastrophic, costly medical disease, whether it's cancer or a broken leg or something that is very severe, that everyone's insurance premiums don't go up, because if you have thousands and thousands of people across state lines that have all bargained for this pooled insurance, it won't have that impact. And so my opponent is not for that, because I assume the union bosses are not for it. And the health savings account approach is one also that individualizes it, so that an individual gets the tax incentives to put money in a health savings account, be able to get more affordable insurance, and as they move from job to job, not have to worry about pre-existing conditions, because they actually own that policy and over a number of years build up quite a nest egg.
You get 30 seconds, then we're on to a new round.
Right. The health savings plan you're talking about, it has gone out to maybe a million people. You and I have been able to have
3 million.
Okay, maybe it's three. There's 46 million out there, and they can't get tax credits. These are people, you know, you and I have had health plans. I've been involved in military health plan ever since I was wounded in Vietnam. There are people out there to whom tax credits and those sort of things just don't fit into their plan. We need to have a plan like the Massachusetts plan, which will take care of exactly what you're talking about, including portability.
Mark Plotkin.
If I may, since
no,
you brought
can come
on,
back.
On this, please understand
we
that.
We've got to move on. We've
all right, well, I'll use
time.
The
you can
dance
work it in later.
I'll stay on the health topic because it's a nice segue.
No, you're actually going to be helpful.
As they said in the radio.
We cannot rely on the government to solve all of our social problems. We've seen what happened in Katrina. We are a self-reliant, compassionate country. There are a number of organizations out there that are there to help people. And we, as a self-reliant, compassionate country, need to recognize that we need to provide for ourselves as individuals in the event of needs in that area, health care. We need to plan, and with the advent of or the introduction of affordable health care insurance for everyone.
Maybe you won't think I'm so helpful when I ask this question, Senator. I'm not a scientist or a physician, obviously, but eminent scientists and physicians and people in the scientific community think that embryonic stem cell research has a vast potential to cure debilitating and deadly and chronic diseases. You voted against federal funding of embryonic stem cell research. Why did you do that, and would you ever reconsider your vote of federal funding for this research, which could save possibly, potentially, many, many lives?
Thank you for listening to WRIR's own Homespun C-SPAN. You will hear voices that would otherwise go unheard. Voices that would otherwise go unheard was one of the key parts of the original founding statements from the 1969 Carnegie Commission report that led to the creation of PBS and NPR. And we are working to fulfill that. Now, also, for the Second Amendment to have any real meaning, consider that that militia will have to know what their government is doing wrong and know detail on who and how their government is doing wrong. How does that militia know? The media, of course. Freedom of speech is first, and the right to know is second. The right and even obligation to hear a fuller range of human thought in order to fulfill Benjamin Franklin's challenge, you have a democracy if you can keep it. Help keep our democracy informed and inflamed with the shining sun of soliloquy from voices that would otherwise go unheard, and then possibly turn to other solutions that may be violent because they're desperate, they were not heard. Thus, we revive the civic economy and turn over the rocks hiding the next Abramoff or Foley or Lieberman voting for the Military Commissions Act of 2006 that overturns the delicate balance of powers established in the Constitution by the founders. Please fulfill your pledge you made last week. You can mail it to P.O. Box 4787, Richmond, Virginia, 23220. You can come by the station for a tour. It's 1621 West Broad Street, second floor, across from Lowe's on Broad Street, down by VCU. You just heard the debate you never heard before at the Fairfax Chamber of Commerce between George Allen and James Webb for the 2006 Virginia Senate race, and we set up the independent Senate candidate Gail Parker in the back with a microphone to comment on the two candidates that were favored for the race debate by the host for that debate. This was recorded September 18th at the Fairfax Chamber of Commerce in Fairfax, Virginia. You can hear the rest of the debate on WRIR.org and next week on Homespun C-SPAN. Next up is The Defenders.